Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Rich Tola, and welcome to Opening Day, Tola Talks. Thanks for joining us, thanks for listening. Pretty excited here. We have a variety-type show for you. It's based on, well, with a backbone of positivity, fitness, and motivation. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for joining. And I want to thank Sam Husson, the owner of LA Talk Radio. Here's a quick little story for you. 2 years ago, Sam interviewed me on his talk show, which is 10 o'clock in the morning, which he'll be interviewing me live next Monday, the 8th. Hope you can join us from 10 to 11, Sam in the morning. And at that time, I was pretty excited. It was an adrenaline rush. If you've ever sat in a radio studio or been on radio, you know what it feels like. And I said, you know, Sam, afterward, I was so excited. I said, hey, Sam, I said, how do I get my own show? He's like, Rich, it's easy. You could have your own show. And at that time, I wasn't quite ready. And I said, well, you know, how do we go about that? He said, well, you know, think about it. And for 2 years now, I've been thinking about it. So here I am, finally made it to LA Talk Radio. Love it. Awesome. We got a great week planned for you. Today, especially, special guest, Jeannie McDonald, psychic, celebrity psychic. I mean, wait till you meet her. She'll be in here in a few minutes. But before we get started with that, let's talk a little bit about Monday, because Monday's theme is Movie Monday. So today I will be critiquing a movie that I watched over the weekend, November Man. We'll talk about that. First, let's say Happy Labor Day, everyone. Today is Labor Day. It's also the 120th anniversary of Labor Day. Labor Day was established as a federal holiday in 1894. Actually, Oregon was the first state to adopt it in 1887. And then in 1894, it was adopted as a U.S. holiday to celebrate the American labor movement, which is dedicated to the social and economic achievement of workers. So, hey, have a great time, everyone. If you're hanging out at the beach, if you're shopping in the malls, you know, do it right, low on the carbs, of course. And I do want to send out some well wishes to a woman who's impacted my life, no doubt, Joan Rivers. I want to send some heartfelt energy to you and your family and Melissa. I mean, I wish you well. And there's a documentary in 2010, if you saw this, A Piece of Work. Great documentary. What I remember most about that, and you recall, if you know Joan's history and her journey in the business, she sat with Johnny Carson, and that's the day that changed her life. And in the movie, she talks about how at that moment forward, she became a mini industry. And that stuck with me, and the responsibilities that go along with that. So, Joan, I wish you well. I mean, love to have you on the show one day. And again, all the heartfelt energy, positive vibes coming out from you today from Tola Talks. Good. And also every day, we're going to have a tip of the day. And today's tip involves posture. Okay. What does it mean to have good posture? And if you want to learn more about good posture, I did a 30-episode podcast called Get Your Shit Together. If anybody's checked that out, you can go to my website, richtola.com. There's all 30 episodes there. It's on iTunes and all over the internet. But episode 10 of Get Your Shit Together is Posture Perfect. Because why is posture important? Everybody knows that. Go check it out there. But good health, good energy. I mean, hey, guys that have good posture, no doubt. Guys with that, they get laid more. I mean, I should know. But more importantly, it's great to have good posture. Good posture emanates good health as well as the confidence you project out to the universe. I mean, one person I think of when I think of good posture is Misty Copeland, you know, the ballerina. I mean, when I look at her, I mean, not only is she just beautiful, but the energy, right? The confidence of someone. So you should definitely employ good posture. Now, here's your tip of the day. How do you do that? Aside from knowing what it means to have good posture, that's pretty straightforward. Pull through the core, chest back, right? Here's what you do. Here's a little tip for you. Get a little piece of paper, like the size of a business card or maybe even smaller. And on that card, you're going to write four words. And those words are, how was my posture? With a question mark. Okay? And every hour on the hour, take out that little piece of paper and look at that. Read that. How was my posture? How was my posture for the past hour? Now you're up, what, 12, 15 hours a day? You look at that 15 times a day, you do that 2-3 days in a row, 50 times later, guess what? You're going to be thinking about posture, because posture, it takes more than just knowing what to do to have good posture. You have to be thinking about it consciously all the time. That's what I do when I walk out the door in the morning, when I go for that 2-mile walk, I think, how's my posture? Because you got to think about it. It's very difficult. The earth is trying to pull you into the earth. Right? Here's something else you could do. Go to the bank. Go to the supermarket. Look at how people stand. Right? They're slunched over. They're leaning into one hip. Bad posture, not good for you. Okay? So that's how we're going to start the show. First day out of the gates, good posture. Anybody can have good posture. If you don't have good posture, no problemo. You could change that in an instant. Change it. And like I said, it's more attractive, men and women, and especially for the younger women out there. I have a couple of nieces that are young, and a lot of times when they're growing up, right, the breasts are getting larger, and they don't want guys looking at them, so they kind of hunch over. Well, don't do that, ladies. Forget about it. Those are God-given talents. Hey, so what? If someone, they're going to be looking at you the rest of your life, so that's okay, okay? Use those talents and stand up straight. Always, always employ good posture. Okay, also what we're going to do today is talk about my Get Your Shit Together Award. Okay, Get Your Shit Together. And this is all positive, people. This is your show based on positivity, based on motivation, right? Get Your Shit Together Award goes to, and I have to thank my assistant producer, Yasmin, came up with this. She said, you know, here's one for you. Everyone's read the news about Savannah, Georgia, right? This young couple, a boy and a girl. Let's get into that. I mean, because this is important. So every day we're going to talk about who gets the award for having to get their shit together. So how about this? 20-year-old woman, right? Christopher. I guess that's a new name now for women. It's kind of new to me. And her half-brother, Timothy, 25, were caught three times. Three times they got caught having sex in a church parking lot in a tractor trailer. Okay, well, let's combine those, okay? Incest, church, tractor trailer. Oh my God, that's a recipe for disaster. Forget about it. And more importantly, they said that they did this after watching The Notebook. Well, guess what? Great movie, by the way, with Ryan Gosling. It was a 10-year-old movie. 2004, this came out with Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams, two of my favorite actors out there. But, I mean, what the hell's going on? You're watching a movie? I mean, there's a million movies out there. You could go back to 9.5 weeks and say, oh, my God, I watched that movie. Now I'm going to go have sex. You can't have sex with your brother or your sister. That's ridiculous. Forget about it. You got to get your shit together. I mean, this is important, people. So, hey, these two folks, Christopher, Timothy, you get the award for you got to get your shit together. So there you go. So don't be doing that. Forget about it. And don't be doing it in a church parking lot. I mean, that's insane. All right, there you go. Our award for the get your shit together. So let's talk about this movie. The movie that I watched, November Man. Well, first of all, you got Pierce Brosnan. He was the executive producer of the film, and he plays Peter Devereaux. Probably one of the best names you could imagine in film. Might love that name. This is a spy thriller. Just came out August 27th. It did $7.7 million in the opening weekend, which is pretty good. Not great. It did $10 million in total to date. Now, let's talk about this, because this was based on a book called There Are No Spies by Bill Granger. And I will say, after watching the movie, I'm not sure if I want to read the book, but more importantly, we're going to rate on Mondays. We're going to do a rating. We're going to do one thumbs up, two thumbs up, or three thumbs up, right? Let's look at that. One thumb, I mean, let's go from the top, three thumbs up. That's an excellent movie, a movie like Braveheart, or 9.5 Weeks, one of my favorite movies, or The Godfather, right? Everybody remember, or Rocky, another three thumbs. So just to kind of set the mark, looking at one thumb, yeah, that's a movie that you're going to wait for it to come on Netflix. You know, two thumbs, good, enjoyable. You want to see it in the movie theater, maybe go to the matinee, which is what I did. You know, maybe a little less on that. But this movie was distributed by Ryan Cavanaugh and Relativity Media. They're a powerhouse. I mean, he does some amazing things over there with Pierce Brosnan, Luke Bracey. Now, Luke is kind of new to the scene. He's been around for 5 years. He's going to play Johnny Utah in the new Point Break. Love Point Break with Keanu Reeves, but he's going to be the new Johnny Utah, and he's also in a movie coming out called The Best of Me with Michelle Monaghan and James Marsden. By the way, who James Marsden was in The Notebook, if you recall. So watching that coming attraction, I was pretty excited to see this guy Luke, because again, I'm not familiar with him. But he's also similar. You know who he reminds me of? He's like a young Robert Patrick. Remember Robert Patrick from Terminator 2? I mean, he's kind of badass. So Luke, you know, he's kind of, well, I wouldn't say he's a badass guy. He sort of fits the bill of a good guy killer with a heart. So he's side of Manhattan up on 81st and 1st Street at the time when they were filming this movie, The Thomas Crown Affair. And I used to go watch them filming. It was right across from the Metropolitan Museum of Art and the Guggenheim Museum right up there, 5th Avenue, if everyone's familiar with the Upper East Side. So, you know, it's interesting how kind of followed his career over the years. But he does. He does play a pretty badass, you know, a pretty badass killer here. Yeah, there's not a lot of heartfelt moments in this movie, I will say, but let's talk about the positives. It's action-packed, no doubt. It has precise killings in this, which I kind of like. It's not like everything, all shit's being blown up all the time. That's not what it's about. So Pierce is this all-badass guy, awesome-looking, wearing the suits, of course. But one thing that's really cool about this movie is the use of how they use alcohol. Alcohol is a coping mechanism for Pierce in the movie, for our buddy Peter Devereaux. But more importantly, for those of you who have an acting background like I do, you know that alcohol is a sensory item. What I remember, here's one for you. Has everybody seen The Wolf of Wall Street with Leonardo DiCaprio? Well, he's amazing. Remember when he's on Quaaludes? Well, just playing that, playing the Quaaludes or playing the alcohol, these guys aren't taking Quaaludes. They're not drinking alcohol. They're not getting all wasted doing these scenes. So let me tell you, it's really challenging to play someone who's got the alcohol you're using as a mechanism for. I think Pierce Brosnan does a great job with that. Like I said, in terms of heartfelt scenes, there's one or two scenes in there. And, you know, the last 10 minutes, I will say, best part of the movie. So if you're not really digging it, don't get up and walk out. Hang in there. And in terms of adding some beauty to the equation, you know, Olga Kurylenko, she was in Oblivion with Tom Cruise. I mean, she's gorgeous. I mean, she's in the film. She does a good job. She adds definitely some color to it. Does a great job, I think. So there's some really good points to it. Now, let's talk about why you wouldn't like this movie. First of all, it's predictable. No doubt. It's predictable, kind of keeps you going, but you kind of know where it's going. The first half is a bit slow, I will say, but then it picks up speed. No doubt. In terms of the supporting cast, other than Olga, I mean, the supporting cast is okay. I'm going to say that's like an okay, I wouldn't say it's great. I'd say it's okay. But it does flow nicely. Good cinematography. It's got the father and son mentee thing going on, which I like. And here's something cool in L.A. I don't know if this happens in other parts of the world, but people clap after movies here, which is pretty cool. Now, this movie, I do not think this movie is going to win any Academy Awards, but people did clap, which is positive. I mean, I like that. And at times, the movie, I will say, at times the movie does seem a little unrealistic, but it's believable. And that's what I look for in a film. Is it believable, right? By the way, the trailer, when I first watched the trailer is the best part of the whole movie. When I watched the trailer, it's an excellent trailer. I mean, they really took out those choice scenes. I mean, I give the trailer 2 thumbs up. But in terms of the movie, I will say, I'm going to give this 1.5 thumbs. Hey, I'd love to be able to give it 2 thumbs, but I think it's in that range, somewhere between 1 and 2 thumbs. Again, I'm a big movie buff. I love watching actors. I like to see the challenges. Again, the alcohol is a challenge here. He does an amazing job. So take a look. I mean, I recommend definitely go seeing it if you have the time. Bring your family, whatever. Matinees are good too. So there you go. Movie Monday, November Man. Check it out. 1.5 thumbs from Tola Talks over here. There you go. All right, so before we get into bringing in Jeannie into the studio here, one of my favorite people, you'll see once we have some fun talking about Jeannie. So Jeannie is a celebrity psychic. And what does it mean to be a psychic? I mean, what does that mean? It's like, you know, when people come to L.A. and they say they're actors, right? Oh, everybody's an actor. The dogs and cats here are actors. I just read an article recently about all these dogs making millions of dollars. Well, guess what? I think anyone in the world can say they're a psychic, but Jeannie McDonald, she's the real deal. And here's what Wikipedia says. Wikipedia says a psychic is a person who claims to have the supernatural ability to perceive information hidden from the normal senses through extrasensory perception, that's called ESP, or to manipulate objects with supernatural mental power. Wow. Okay, that was a mouthful. All right, well, now here's what the critics say about psychics. The critics say The psychics are intentional tricky. They're like intentional trickery. All right. Well, I think that's all bullshit because to me, it's all about what you believe in the world. It's what you believe in life, right? I believe that all things, everything is possible. Anything is possible. I met Jeannie, let's say. We'll tell a little story about that once we bring her in. She just, hey, Jeannie, I know you're sitting over there. I'm gonna turn, you're already on, so that's good.
All right.
There you go. Jeannie McDonald, say hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm awesome.
How's my posture?
Oh, by the way, Jeannie, you have excellent posture. So, folks, here you go. Jeannie Jacobs McDonald, her website, Jeannie McDonald, M-A-C, Donald. And you can go check her out, okay? Let me give you a little background on Jeannie here. Jeannie has spent the past 20 years or more, right? She spent 20 years with personal research and experience in philosophy, spirituality, meditation, shamanism, psychic abilities, and most importantly, guiding people through their fears. So this is Jeannie McDonald, and so Jeannie, all right, let me ask you a question just out of the gate, because a lot of people out there, they don't understand the concept of psychic abilities. And now, just to back up a sec, I met Jeannie in 2009, in the latter part of 2009. So I've known her for quite some time. And like I said, I've had an amazing experience with Jeannie from the word go. I continue to. I've seen her personally. We've done some phone chats because Jeannie is available. She does a Monday night class. So Jeannie, let's talk a little bit about that with your background and how people perceive you.
Well, I'm actually, I can be a psychic and a medium. Not all psychics psychics are not mediums. A psychic is the neon sign next door. I saw that when I was coming in, that blinks all night long. And that's good. You know, that doesn't mean they're not good. It just means they sense things. They're very intuitive, and they watch your body language. They feel things. Whereas a medium travels to other worlds. A medium sees the spirits that are around people, and so I'm a medium first and a psychic second, because I like to help people and I like to see who's around. What does your spirits look like? What's going on around you? What do you need fixed? And so I have conversations with those spirits and angels and people from the other side that's part of your family, part of your friends. And I just watch my own movie. Whatever they're telling you, I relay that message, and we try and get something figured out. If you're stuck, or if you're need to know where to move, how to bring your money in, what kind of relationship to have, where is that guy, whatever it is, I just listen to your guides because they're the ones that have your timeline, and they tell you whether you're on the right track or not. So I've been a medium since I was four, probably since I was born, but when I was four, I knew it. So yeah, it's a pretty exciting life.
Yeah, I wanted to know that. Let me back up and give you a quick story how my experience, and you'll read this if you want to read in my memoir, right? Simply Between Millions from Wall Street to Hollywood. I wrote a memoir, and in this memoir, there's a chapter called The Glass Tower. Okay, that's chapter 64. Now, in that chapter, I make reference to I was living in Hollywood at the time. And I was watching, driving by Sunset and Vine, there was a glass tower building going up, and I watched them build that building. It was actually a building built in the 60s that they gutted, stripped it down, redid it, turned it into residential. And I've been driving by this building, and I kept visualizing this building. Now, I had met Jeannie maybe 2 months before this. She was introduced to me by a friend of mine, and I had experience with psychics before and mediums, but I was new to Jeannie. So here I am. I'm driving by this building, and I kept thinking, I want to move into this building, right? But, I'm thinking, I read about they were going to be for sale. So flash forward. It was Christmas Eve. This is no bullshit. Christmas Eve, I'm going to Borders, which is diagonal across the street. I was going to go shopping. So I go, and I park my car. And this is the first time I ever saw anyone in that building. So I parked my car and I said, holy shit, someone's in the lobby. So I go, I cross the street and I go in the building, and the guy was really nice. He was a real estate broker. He took me all around this building. It was an amazing building, amazing energy. And I said, I want to live here. But the guy's like, well, first of all, they're for sale. Secondly, they may decide to rent them, but if they rent them, they're going to probably start around 3,000, 3,500 units. Now at the time, I think I was spending $1,200 a month to living in a bungalow that I filmed my film Boulevard Zen in that bungalow. So I'm like, well, forget about it. I'm not going to be able to move into this building. But I couldn't stop thinking about this building. It was just in my psyche. So 2 weeks later, I go to see Jeannie, and we're going through a session, and she's you turn cards, which we'll talk about, Jeannie. And next thing you know, and Jeannie gets into a zone. It's kind of like a zone where when I'm teaching yoga, I go to a place where I don't really know what the hell is going on. And when you sit with Jeannie or you communicate with this woman, she's in another place. There's no doubt. That's my experience. So she's all of a sudden, and she says to me out of nowhere, she's like, forget about that glass tower. You're going to move in there. And my heart sort of skipped a beat. And I'm like, wait a minute. Well, how the hell did she, why, you know? And then that's when it was like, whoa. And then she kept going on somewhere else. And then after we were done, you know, I'm always amazed. But so, Jeannie, I remember that clearly. But since then, what she's talking about, people, when she says she guides you, listening to your inner guide, she's in touch with them. This is true, no doubt. It's definitely true with me, and Jeannie knows me well. We're friends, but you feel more than that. So you said like at the age of four. I mean, does it go? So you always know. So like a true psychic, someone who's real. Like you kind of know it, right? You're born with it. Is it?
Well, you know it because you see ghosts around you all the time.
You see, oh my God.
and you know, a lot of kids, most kids. Have that experience. They have that freedom before they get their rules and laws and society's way of doing things. They have a freedom of learning and trusting. And so I did the same thing. I could see ghosts around me all the time.
Were they ghosts of people that have passed away? I have a friend who is a witch, and she's called an exeter. So when they pass away, I never told you this, when they pass away, they go through her. Like she sees them. Mm-hmm. And most of them tell her they're just there to say, and she, no kidding, like the next day she'll read in the newspaper about, she called me up 2-3 weeks ago and said, I'm a little freaked out. A guy we went to high school with was killed in a motorcycle accident. She said he came to me the night before, and he said, everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. So that's an exeter. She only has that one, and she goes to Salem every year and to like some meeting. And she said, she doesn't tell anybody because she thinks everybody thinks she's crazy. But so when you see ghosts, are these living people or are these, they're to the other side or what's happening?
Well, they let you know. Sometimes they're people. When I was four, my great grandmother came in. Well, I didn't know that at the time because, of course, I'd never met her. So I just thought of her as a person. But when you start babbling about the things that you see at that age to your family, they know who you just witnessed. Mm. I don't feel that I am an exeter, but you know, God bless her. She's a good witch. she helps those people and relays those messages. But it's a strange world, and you can turn up the volume or you can turn down the volume depending on how much you want to see. If I'm in a restaurant with somebody and I'm enjoying myself, I don't want to pull in everybody in the restaurant that's having some type of a situation and lose my own enjoyable time. So you can turn the volume down. After doing this for years and years, you learn how to do that. Turn the volume down. And fortunately, that's of benefit. The only reason the volume was turned down through my high school years and until I was in my 20s was because I didn't want to embarrass my family. Mm. We lived in a little bodunk town in Pennsylvania, and it just wasn't the type of thing that you mentioned to everybody that, oh, my child is a psychic.
No, at the time they probably think you were crazy and they want to lock you up.
They just or overstimulated with or something. They didn't understand it. Like a lot of parents don't understand their kids when they talk about invisible friends.
Right.
And it's important to listen to them. Because there's a certain time in their childhood where they walk both sides. They do see the same thing that I see now. They keep that, and then it becomes uncomfortable for them or their parents, and they shut it down. So when I would get bored in school, I would just turn up the volume and I would just look at everything. See all the ghosts and stuff that were around the teachers, and I didn't know which ones were family members, old family members, or which or spirits or who was who at that time. I just knew it was entertaining, and it kept me entertained. So it's a difficult time for a child because they don't know what to do with it.
Right.
So I have clients that are 12, 8, 13, and their parents, they don't understand it. And it's particularly if you're very religious, it's like you're going to go to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
And bless them, they bring that child to me to see if I can explain what's going on. So we'll have family sessions after I talk to the child one-on-one about why they're seeing what they're seeing, and don't be afraid, because that child goes straight to those spooky movies. Well, and when they see someone in the middle of the night in the room and tell your parents, it's exorcist time.
Now, do you think, because this is something I think maybe has to do with it's generational, like back in the day, like for instance, my mother has, after seeing you for 5 years, I mean, if you're out there, Mom, I want to give a shout out to my family and all you guys on the East Coast. So she always wanted to speak with you, but there's a little, you know, she's a little older and she's like a little nervous about it. She's like, well, do things just come out? Is it only the good thing? You know, is it generational where they don't believe that? Whereas nowadays, I mean, a lot of people think anything's possible. They truly do. And there more movies and studies have shown the research that that you have these abilities versus, oh, this is, you know, we're going to put you in the shackles and like they did it back in the Salem days.
Yes. Well, I'm of the belief that 100% of everyone has it.
Everyone has these abilities.
Yes, they have the ability to sense.
Right.
Something.
Is that intuition, or you say it's more than that?
I just think it's part of the package whenever we arrived on this planet. All of a sudden, the phone will ring, and you were thinking of somebody, and voila, it's that person. And just little things like that. And those are the people that say, oh, my gosh, you will not believe just what happened to me.
It happened. Let me tell you, it happens all the time. This is how this show was created. We're talking a couple months ago. I was I call it manifestation, but I feel it, right? This intuition. And I'd been wanting to do this. And Sam will tell you, Sam, I called him a couple months back and I knew it was the time, but all the pieces haven't come together. And then that's another, I will say here's another quick little story with Jeannie is I think I saw, maybe it was maybe 6-8 months ago that we sat down and if everyone knows my journey, I was 8 years now in the business, I've done a lot. I continue to put out content. But where do you find your mark in this town? Hollywood, it's a rough town to begin with in the world of entertainment. And I started, I'm going to be the actor. I'm going to be the George Clooney's of the world. But guess what? What you realize is when you come here, you need to sort of let the flow. It's like a river. You get in the river, you need to kind of let the river take you. But you got to keep honing your skills, keep putting it out there. I believe that. You got to, anyone in this business who comes to Hollywood, whether you're a dancer, actor, it doesn't really matter. You need to keep putting it out there. Well, I desired this, right, 2 years back. Now, what is it, 6-7 months ago when I saw you, you even said that to me. You said, I brought up the concept of radio, and you were in your trance, and you said, oh, not right now, but you're going to get there. You're going to get there. And I was like, here we go again with putting it out to the future that I've been thinking about it, but it was 6-8 months ago what I was doing, folks. I was nowhere near having a radio show, not even close. And Jeannie, you sort of brought light to that, and that's where the guide comes in. I believe that, because then I stuck with that. But so for these little kids, though, it seems like, do you think that some of these parents consider it like a curse? I mean, I think you're blessed, no doubt. But is it like the parents? That's another thing out there, parents. I mean, you have to lead by example. So if you're doubting your child, you're putting your child down. I mean, that was no question. The world I grew up in the 60s, I mean, it was kind of like the tough edge way of raising kids. It's like, do it this way. And there was always a right and a wrong. There was never these gray areas, right? I grew up with an old time Sicilian father. So right. It was like the kids nowadays, or at least the parents are, you know, they're okay, the psychic on the corner with the lights flashing. A lot of people think that's bullshit, but there's no doubt that what you offer, and now you can help these families, right? So are you feeling that these parents are looking at it negatively, or it's like, no, it's a positive?
No, I feel everything's positive. If they're bringing them to me, they're open. They just don't understand it. So I really give them kudos, because if they don't understand it, and yet they're open enough to bring it to someone who does, especially my work. And like you said, nowadays, this type of work is acceptable.
Totally acceptable.
Yeah, it's acceptable. The only reason everyone doesn't jump on board and make an appointment with the medium is because they're not ready. They're not ready. That doesn't believe that it has nothing to do with their belief. I have sisters that they don't come to me for a reading because they're all right. That doesn't mean they don't believe my work or honor my work or respect my work. It just means they don't want it.
They don't want it, or they don't need it, or they're not ready for it.
Well, there are people that must have control.
Right.
They must, and it's not, and they can put that in a positive.
Okay.
The control. I am of that belief of let it go.
Mm.
That's where the magic is. To learn how to let it go. And when I'm reading for someone, I must let it go 100%. Because if I put my own shit, as you say, in amongst what I'm hearing or what I see, that movie that I'm watching, if I see something horrendous and it doesn't match the person on the other side, I could very easily say, oh, no, I'm not going to tell you that
right.
in my mind.
Right.
But I don't. But I will not. Whatever I see, I don't care what it is. And believe me, I've seen women come in there look like nuns, and I've seen a three-way.
Oh.
And so you have to say what, when it's coming through me, it's my job to just say it.
Right. You're in the middle.
That's right.
Basically, you're not couching it, so to speak. And you're right. What I call this is surrender. We do this as actors. You surrender to the moment. When you let everything go and you let it pass through and you're not judging it, you don't judge the information. You communicate. And this is what this woman does. I've seen you, I don't know how many times, countless times, and she does that. It's not like she's pulling back. This is what's coming through. And it's not all right. It's like sometimes it's far away. And some people maybe, matter of fact, you recall, I've taken a couple people with me, a couple of friends to see Jeannie. And after that reading, we're in the car driving back, and they're kind of, sometimes they're, kind of like, wow, they're sitting back, their eyes are sort of glassy, and then maybe they don't want to come back. But mm-hmm. I said, no. I said, this is information. To me, it's an awareness. It's what you're doing is you're saying you're creating awareness with these folks, right? So if someone's resisting it, so back to my mother example, it's like, hey, whatever's coming through, that's a positive because it exists. So becoming aware of it, maybe you could do, or change. A lot of people, they're like afraid of change, right? They go to that sort of place where they're just so frightened that they're afraid maybe you're going to tell them something that might trigger a change in their life. And even though their life is, they might be a shitty life or they're unhappy, they're like afraid. Why do you think that occurs? Where
Well, that's the heart of it right there, is the fear.
The fear.
And your mother's generation, my mother's generation, this was a time period when my type of work was hidden. It was a secret. And I'm telling my mother that I'm a psychic, that I'm a medium, and that I can see ghosts. That's not comfortable for her.
My daughter's crazy.
And I remember at the beginning when I was opening up to all of this, I would be so excited because I'd call her and say, "Oh, Dad, I got a message from Dad who's on the other side." She would go, "I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me that anymore." It upset her.
Right.
It upset her. She didn't want to talk to him. She didn't want to know what he said. Or somebody
afraid.
From
There's
the family.
There's the fear. Being open is, we could use that example going to yoga. A lot of people, like, just to kind of digress over here, yoga scares people because, for one, they say, well, we don't know what it is. And for two, let me tell you, yoga opens up the body. And that's kind of what you do. I've sat with you. And next thing you know, but what I think, it's liberation, no doubt. You're liberating. Because
you
these thoughts are there. I mean, I've seen it with Jeannie, and there's no doubt. The thoughts are there. They're in the mind. They're in the energy. You know, our mind, we're only using a percentage of our mind. There's so much there. So you can't be afraid. And I say this, and what about the, let's talk a little difference between in person, because I've been with you in person. I prefer in person, but I also, you know, it depends. I like over the phone too. Mm-hmm. We do these phone consultations, and a lot of people, what I tell them is start with for 30 minutes on the phone. Jeannie does 30-minute readings. You do 90, you do 60-minute readings?
Yes. Right? 60 and 30.
60 and 30.
And in an emergency, 15.
In an emergency, 15. I've had a couple 15 myself, right? It's like sometimes I remember this too. There have been a few times where it's like I got to talk to Jeannie because you work things out. And I'll tell you, people, when you create that awareness, you're open to it. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's not like, well, here's another example. I remember when I first started acting, right? My very first acting coach, Roberto Wallach, would say to me, you know, Rich, as an actor, you have to, oh, there's a closet. Everybody's got this closet, and in that closet, they got all these skeletons, and they got all this shit that's going on in the closet. Guess what? As an actor, you, not only do you have to open the door to the closet, but you have to go and play inside that closet. And I was not ready for that. When I started, I was the Wall Street guy, very closed. I wasn't emotional. I couldn't even cry. Now I could cry on the dime. But the point was, until I got comfortable or confident enough to open that door, because she would say, Rich, the key is that closet. Guess what? Everyone's got the same shit going on in their life. I mean, everyone's got these sort of in the closet. So you got to open it and you got to play in the closet. And I think that's kind of what happens here. You know, you're opening people to a whole new, like, hey, guess what? This is going on. You're not crazy. You feel this. I mean, Oprah Winfrey said it. You got to trust your intuition, right? That's where true wisdom lies. And that's kind of what I think you do, is you tune people in to their intuitive qualities, characteristics that they're afraid to look at, right?
Yeah, right. And I'm up to 2,700 clients now. And a lot of those are phone people because it's all over the world, Israel and Paris and Austria. And when they call me, the first thing that I do with everyone is ask them, why are you calling?
Right.
And they'll just dump all their stuff, that the brain chatter, I call it. And that stops everybody from moving forward. Well, there's a lot of fear in there. There's a lot of things to be afraid of in there, because I'm going to tell them they have to stop, that they must change that, whatever it is.
It's like clearing the whiteboard. It's a
that's
big
right.
It's a big board out there, and you've cluttered it up with all this stuff, and that stuff hinders you. And that's what Jeannie does. She wipes that board clear and say, okay, let's put on the board that which is most important. Let's focus on. So, I mean, that did for me. I mean, for all the years. I mean, coming to this town, you know, all this. Hey, you come to this town, no doubt. You struggle. I mean, nobody, you know, they say this overnight success is 10 years in this town. So I get it. It's been valuable to me. So it sounds like what these people, what you're really asking them is, are you ready for me?
That's right.
You're saying, why are you calling? Are you really saying, oh, you know, between the lines? Are you ready? Because that one gal, I don't want to mention names, I did bring one young lady over to you. She was not ready.
That's right. That's right. Well, and by the time they reach me, it doesn't make any difference if they're ready or not.
They're getting
They're going to get it.
They're going to get it.
And sometimes it's very ugly. There's a lot. They do not want to hear, and they will fight.
Oh.
So you spend an hour arguing, and they're arguing with their own spirit.
Right.
They're not arguing with me.
No, that's just passing through to you.
Crazy to me, because that our spirits are the only ones that knows our timeline.
Shoot the middleman, kill the messenger, right?
That's right.
That's right. I was a real estate broker. Guess what? Everything dumps on you. You're the middleman. Or you're saying, listen, I'm just passing on the email. There's no doubt. And that's what happens. I see it with Jeannie. Jeannie, there's no doubt. You go to another place. When I'm with you. Now, let me ask you about how you're able to turn it off and turn it on. Like, I remember when we get together, like, we, you know, I love this woman. I get together with Jeannie. She's got this amazing energy. You know, we could sit and chat, and then, but then all of a sudden, it's like we sit down, and then all, does it take you, or do you sort of block it out until you're ready to sit down with the person? How does it work? Is it always going on? Because it seems like we're chatting, and then all of a sudden you lock in, like you're in the zone. I'm like, where's she going?
Well, it's some people, they allow me to play first and talk and play and have fun, and then I get this energy in a classroom. All right, we're ready. Everybody sit down. There's that feeling.
Buckle up.
So I go back to, all right, this is work. This is business. Let's get to it. And so when we're sitting down at the table and those cards are in front of us, we're going for it. And that it's time. That time.
It's
that
like
clock
lock and
ticking.
Load. The right. Clock is ticking, yes. Lock and load. By the way, let's talk about the cards, because that's another thing that Jeannie. And I've sat with folks that throw the rocks, you know, the rune. Or
yes, runes.
The runes.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that. But I love what you do. It's the cards, and there's this big, you pick the cards. I mean, it's like, because it feels like it's me. I'm the one reaching in, because folks, what she'll do is she'll say, Rich, pick five cards. And I pick these cards out, these little circular, and on both sides, it's like I'm guiding you, right? I'm grabbing,
that's right.
You're not grabbing these. So how does that work?
Well, that's my choice. I want you to be the one that pulls the cards so that I can keep my energy up there and not have to think about reaching my hand out and throwing the cards. You throw the cards. I put them in, it's a shaman pattern that I learned. And then I see the movie. And that's basically how it works. You give me your energy, and we talk about the issues. And as I am watching what goes down in front of my face, I can hear your guide say, I need four, I need three, I need two. And that's what I tell you. That's all I have to do. And then you throw whatever that number is, and I look down, and I see exactly what they're saying. And
when she says it,
fun.
When you say it, I'm going to say this, with me, I don't know, like I said, I can't count the times we've been together. You've been 100% accurate. 100. And folks, there are times when... you know this, Jeannie, where she'll say, I need three, and I'm stuck, and I can't, like, it's not working, and she'll go, okay, and you'll grab, like, you can feel me, you're like, okay, he doesn't, because I got something kind of threw me off on the way, I'm like, and I can't, I'm like stuck, and not that I don't want to, but I don't want to know, because there's sometimes, I mean, when we talk about all the crazy women that I've dated, right, all the nonsense, and, I mean, folks, when I first met this woman, well, and I also went through the journey of I stopped drinking 7 years ago, and in the beginning, right, there's like, I was still with the women, and I changed that a couple years back, but it's a journey. But what Jeannie does is there are times when even in yourself, you could feel it, like it's like, okay, it's like a roller coaster, right, where you're going, now here we go, we're going to go on this drop, but whether you're ready or not, it's coming. Jeannie's like, okay, I got him. I love that.
We're not putting on the brakes. We do not put on
the
brakes.
No, she doesn't put the brakes. No bullshit here. I'm telling you what you do. And then it's like you're in that zone. And then I remember, I love it, because what happens, folks, too, is you have to cover a lot. I remember the very first time I went to see Jeannie, the woman that introduced me to her told me, she said, you should write down on a piece of paper, you should have a checklist of things that you want to talk about, bring out the list. And I'll never forget, Jeannie, before I even brought it, she goes, okay, where's the list? She like would say, I'm like, whoa, how does she know? That's why I was like, oh my God, I got the list. And I would throw the list away because you already know, like I knew the topics. And most people, we have the same topic. Whether it's the family, whether it's the relationship, whether it's the work. I mean, think about it. Your life is somewhat compartmentalized. And what we do is we create drama in our own mind, mm-hmm. But Jeannie cuts right through that. Jeannie cuts through it and says, all right, we're just cutting to this. She comes right at you. That's what I love about it. It's like, boom, here it is. We're not going to pussyfoot around this whole concept. It's like, boom. And that's what you read.
Well, because everything is love, money, work, and health.
That's it. Love, money, work, and health.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the beautiful part about 2014 is the fact that people can now turn on their cell phones and record it. Mm. And so they don't have to write it on a piece of paper anymore. Right. And they get that message day after day after day, whenever they want to listen to it again. Because you'll come into me with an issue and we'll get that straightened out. But in between that healing process, there are a million ideas that you're not listening to what was just presented.
Right.
And so when you play that back, maybe 2 weeks later, something will happen like your glass tower.
Yep.
And you'll think, oh, that's what that was.
Right. And you record the sessions. Jeannie record. I mean, yeah. I would sometimes listen to them, but for the most part, let me tell you, what's key sticks in your mind. I mean, I would say 20% of the time I'd re-listen to it, but it's there if you want to re-listen to it.
That's right.
I love that experience. I had. So, hey, if you're out there and you're nervous about it, hey, check out JeannieMcDonald.com. No doubt. Just go research who Jeannie is. You might want to just start with a 30-minute session. Now, let's talk a little bit about this class that you do. I've been to the class on Monday nights. I prefer being with you one-on-one. I prefer the phone. I love the phone too. But talk a little bit about the class, and then we're going to, you know, we got about 5 minutes or so.
Well, the class is, it's called Life Cycles. The class is a different ball game. The class is the shaman work, the Native American teachings. And I start on Mondays for 9 months, every Monday. And we go through, it's kind of like a life coaching type of experience. But we start with the South and tear your whole childhood apart. And then you go into yourself. Now, what do you want? And create dreams. And I guarantee every single person, and I've been teaching those since the 80s, every single person has ripped their life apart and changed their whole world.
And they've written to me.
Very
some
powerful.
Of the folks that I went to that class with,
yeah.
There's no doubt they've written back to me and even talked about things like that. So
it's
that,
beautiful.
It is. It's a beautiful thing. So if you want to try that out, that's where is that now, Monday nights?
Well,
you're
right
in Long
now,
Beach, right?
Right now, Monday nights will be complete at the end of September. This group is their sixth year.
Wow.
And they have all created so many things that I want them to now walk their talk. So I shocked them this year and said, we're taking a year off.
Wow, that's nice.
And during that year, I'm going to teach workshops. And so in JeannieMcDonald.com, you'll be able to go in there. Next month, I'm going to have the list of workshops and retreats. And I'm going to put my whole business together so that everyone can get in contact with me. So I'm very excited about what's ahead. And I'm very excited about the Monday Night Group and what they've done. And I'm very excited for you.
Well, thank you,
Jeannie. Having me on, I thank you so much. It's been so fun.
You are awesome. I'm so happy. Now, we're going to finish up with my fast five. We're going to do this. I'm going to shoot you with five. Now, you're going to choose one or the other. It's just a choice, A or B. And just blurt out the answer. We're not getting anywhere. I'm just kind of curious. We're going to have this. So, fast five. Number one, chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Vanilla.
Number two, tropical island or New York City?
Island.
Number three, ancient Rome or the Wild West?
West.
Ooh, I would have guessed Rome. Number four, tearjerker or action thriller?
Tearjerker.
I knew that one. And number five, here we go, candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
Dinner.
Oh, I would have said the picnic in the park. More natural. Well, Jeannie, it was so much fun having you on. Again, JeannieMcDonald.com. You learn more about Jeannie. If you want to learn more about me or go check out my videos or books or whatever, go check out RichTola.com. I mean, again, I thank Jeannie so much for coming on. You were here for opening day. Thank you so much. And anyone who has any reservations whatsoever, hey, go to the internet, research it. You should not be concerned whatsoever. It's an amazing experience. It's an enlightening experience. It's creating awareness in your life, and it will, without a doubt, improve your life. So, Jeannie, thank you for coming on. Thanks for coming up.
Thank you, Rich.
And hey, folks, remember, you want to keep it positive, keep it peaceful, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.